He had been writing to me about this when he was in India and had made some initial investigations, but I thought if we went down there in person, we might be able to make an impact and get the visa approved faster. We took the elevator to the 30th floor of a big glass building. We were shown through to a small office by the young receptionist who greeted us at the front desk. Inside the office, a matronly woman with tired blue eyes and dyed blonde hair sat behind the desk as though she had been waiting for us. She gestured for us to sit in the two chairs opposite her. "You are with the Hare Krishnas?" She was polite and even friendly, but in a distant, business-like way. "Yes," I said, nodding proudly. "So what can I help you with?" "We'd like to get a permanent visa for the Swami," I said. "This is Swami Bhaktivedanta. He just returned from India to continue with his mission to start an international spiritual movement." "I can take your application," she said. "Do you have the forms?" She opened the filing cabinet to her left and flicked through the compartment tabs. I had expected this kind of polite dismissal, so I had another tactic up my sleeve. "I heard there's a special type of visa for culture," I said. She paused and then closed the filing cabinet drawer. "You know, for people who write books, paint, play instruments, and sing or dance. Couldn't we apply for him in that category? Has he won any prizes, like, you know, Pulitzer or anything like that?" she asked. I thought it was strange how she continued to address me rather than the Swami, although almost as though he wasn't there or couldn't understand what she was saying. "Prizes? Any kind of prize," she repeated, "like a Pulitzer Prize or a Nobel Prize. Well, he presented his books to the Prime Minister of India. I have a photo of that," I said. I knew this was grasping at straws, but it was better than nothing. "Any books on a bestseller list in this country?" she asked. "I don't think so, but he sold thousands. I thought that would count for something. Immigration and naturalization would need to have certificates," she said. "I mean certificates for how many books have been sold. So can he apply under that category using the photo?" I asked. She glanced at the Swami. "He can try," she said doubtfully, "but I can't promise anything." The Swami spoke for the first time. "I am here upon a visitor's visa," he said, "and it has been renewed 2 times. So now I want permanent visa. You can issue?" "No, but I can take your application," she said congenially. We knew, of course, that she could take an application form. I felt like she was patronizing us. "Why are there so many tall buildings if there are earthquakes in here?" The Swamiji asked. Why was he asking such a question now? "Oh, this building is earthquake-proof," she assured him. She absently shuffled a pile of typed documents on her desk and then looked up at the Swami with an expression of curiosity on her face. "Isn't it hard to always remember Krishna?" she asked. Again, I was surprised. I thought, how does she know about Krishna and how important it is to try to think of him? "It's just like you put clothes on in the morning," the Swami said. "You would never go to work without clothes, isn't it?" "No, never," she said. "So it's natural, like getting dressed. You can also." "Also what?" she asked. "Remember Krishna always," he answered. "I don't know," she said. She looked reflectively out the huge windows toward the building across the street and then opened the filing cabinet drawer and selected a form. "Fill in your application completely," she said briskly, handing me the thick form. Looking at me again seriously, she said, "Make sure you fill in all the spaces on the form so it won't get sent back." I quickly scanned the form to see what was required. The Swami leaned forward and read it with me. "And be sure it's signed," she said, a note of finality in her voice. This was obviously the end of the interview. "Is there anything else you want to say, Swamiji?" I asked. I'd heard the people call him that, using the suffix G on the end of his name as a sign of affection. It was the first time I had ever addressed him in that way, and I felt a bit self-conscious about it. I glanced in the Swami's direction and saw that his gaze was directed at her, not at me. "Is there another kind of form we can take?" I asked. Let's see, there's some words missing here. She said, looking sorry for us, "Take one of these." I glanced at it and saw that it was an application for the special cultural visa. "All right, let us go," the Swami said to me. "Thank you very much," he said to the woman. "You're welcome," she chimed. "Good luck." We took the elevator down to the ground. As we walked toward the car, the Swami pointed his cane toward a neon sign above a doorway across the street. "Cocktail bar." "What is this word, cocktail?" he asked. "It's a drink of whiskey mixed with a soft drink." "What is soft drink?" "It's a non-alcoholic drink that is usually carbonated," I said. "But in a cocktail, it's mixed with alcohol." I go, stop there.
So today is Canto 4, Chapter 29, and 2 verses, 39 and 40. Talks between Narada and King Prachinabharata. Yatra Bhagavata Rajan Sadavo Vishadashaya Bhagavad Gunanu Bhagavad Gunanu Kathana Shravana Vyagrachetasa Tasmin Mahan Mukharitam Atvavicharitra Piyusha Shesha Sarita Perita Shravanti Tayet Vibhantya Vitrushon Ripa Gadha Karnas Tannas Prasanti Asana Tripaya Shoka Moha Yatra.
Yatra.
Where? Bhagavata.
Bhagavata.
Great devotees.
Great devotees.
Rajan.
Rajan.
O King.
O King.
Sadhava.
Sadhava.
Saintly persons.
Saintly persons.
Vishada. Vishada Ashaya.
Vishada Ashaya.
Broad-minded.
Broad-minded.
Bhagavat.
Bhagavat.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Guna.
Guna.
The qualities.
The qualities.
Anukathana.
Anukathana.
To regularly recite.
To regularly recite.
Shravana.
Shravana.
To hear.
To hear.
Vyagra.
Vyagra.
Eager.
Eager.
Chetasa.
Chetasa.
Whose consciousness?
Whose consciousness?
Tasmin.
Tasmin.
There.
There.
Mahat.
Mahat.
Of great saintly persons.
Of great saintly persons.
Mukharita.
Mukharita.
Emanating from the mouth.
Emanating from the mouth.
Madhubit.
Madhubit.
Of the killer of the Madhu demon.
Of the killer of the Madhu demon.
Charitra.
Charitra.
The activities or the character.
The activities or the character.
Piyusha.
Piyusha.
Of nectar.
Of nectar.
Shesha.
Shesha.
Surplus.
Surplus.
What means surplus?
Extra.
Excel. Sarita.
Sarita.
Rivers.
Rivers.
Parita.
Parita.
All around.
All around.
Shravanti.
Shravanti.
Flow.
Flow.
Taha.
Taha.
All of them.
All of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They who.
They who.
Pibanti.
Pibanti.
Drink.
Drink.
Avitrisha.
Avitrisha.
Without being satisfied.
Without being satisfied.
Nripa.
Nripa.
O King.
O King.
Gada.
Gada.
Attentive.
Attentive.
Karnai.
Karnai.
With their ears.
With their ears.
Tongue.
Done.
Them.
Them.
Na.
Na.
Never.
Never.
Sprishanti.
Sprishanti.
Touch.
Touch.
Asana.
Asana.
Hunger.
Hunger.
Treat.
Treat.
Thirst.
Thirst.
Bhaya.
Bhaya.
Fear.
Fear.
Shoka.
Shoka.
Lamentation.
Lamentation.
Moha.
Moha.
Illusion.
Illusion.
Translation. My dear King, in the place where pure devotees live, following the rules and regulations, and thus purely conscious and engaged with great eagerness in hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in that place, if one gets a chance to hear the constant flow of nectar, which is exactly like the waves of a river, one will forget the necessities of life, namely hunger and thirst, and become immune to all kinds of fear, lamentation, and illusion. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The cultivation of Krishna consciousness is possible where great devotees live together and constantly engage in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. In a holy place like Vrindavana, there are many devotees constantly engaged in chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. If one gets the chance to hear from pure devotees in such a place, allowing to constant flow of the river of nectar to come from the mouths of pure devotees, then the cultivation of Krishna consciousness becomes very easy. When one is engaged in constantly hearing the glories of the Lord, he certainly rises above the bodily conception. When one is in the bodily conception, he feels the pangs of hunger and thirst, fear, lamentation, and illusion. But when one is engaged in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, he transcends the bodily conception. The word Bhagavat Gunanu Katvana Shravana Vyagra Chetasa, meaning always eager to find a place where the glories of the Lord are being heard and chanted, is significant in this verse. A businessman is always very eager to go to a place where business is transacted. Similarly, a devotee is very eager to hear from the lips of liberated devotees. As soon as one hears the glories of the Lord from the liberated devotees, he immediately becomes impregnated with Krishna consciousness. This is also confirmed in another verse. Satam prasangam mamavire sam vidoba vanti hritkarna rasayana katha tas joshanat as apavargavart mane sradara tirbhakti anukramishetli. In the association of pure devotees, discussion on the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and to the heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and thereafter he is freed and his attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begin. It's Bhagavatam 3:25-25. In the association of pure devotees, one becomes attached to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. In this way, one can cultivate Krishna consciousness, and as soon as this cultivation is advanced, one can become faithful to the Lord, devoted to the Lord, and attached to the Lord. And thus, one can very quickly attain full Krishna consciousness. The secret of success in the cultivation of Krishna consciousness is hearing from the right person. A Krishna conscious person is never disturbed by the bodily necessities, namely eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Om Adhyana Dhimiranta Syadhyanam Zinashala Kaya Chakshurum Vyatam Yuna Tasma Shri Guravya Namaha Mukham Karachya Chalam Tanku Yangaita Indri Yad Krupatana Vande Shri Guru Vyatamata Yuna Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Guru Bhakti Vinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's amazing verse. I read it again. My dear King, in the place where pure devotees live, following the rules and regulations, and thus purely conscious and engaged with great eagerness in hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In that place, if one gets a chance to hear the constant flow of nectar, which is exactly like the waves of a river, one will forget the necessities of life, namely hunger and thirst, and become immune to all kinds of fear, lamentation, and illusion. It's also very interesting how it is described that pure devotees, they live and they follow the rules and regulations, and thus purely conscious and engaged with great eagerness in hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So on all stages of advancement of spiritual life, we follow rules and regulations. They can be different, but they are here. Even it is said, because we know that bhakti devotion progresses starting from Shraddha, then faith appears in our heart, and up to prema, pure love of Godhead. And stages from Shraddha till asakti, attachment to the Lord, they are in the category of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, regulated by rules and regulations, practice of devotional service. Next stage is Bhava Sadhana Bhakti. It's Sadhana Bhakti and it's spontaneous. It's spontaneous practice of devotional service. And Prema Bhakti is pure love of Godhead. And we know that these two last stages, they are according to great acharyas and saintly devotees. They differ from Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. They are called Draganuga Sadhana Bhakti and then pure love of Godhead, Prema Bhakti. Yeah. Yet we see that pure devotees, they are following the rules and regulations. Even it is said that one becomes so advanced that there is no need to follow rules and regulations, yet already still one will follow rules and regulations. And also we know that there is one rule and regulation. What is the most important rule and like regulation?
Chanting.
I remember when we had Bhakta program in Moscow, we learned at first words, but I'm sorry, I forgot the Sanskrit. Not Satatam Kirtan, Smartavyam, Satatam Vishnu, Vishmartavana Jadachi, Mishadachi. So always remember, maybe it's a different one, but always remember Krishna, never forget him. This is the main rule and regulation. Always remember Krishna. What should be done, always remember Krishna. What should not be done, never forget Krishna. So this is the most important rule and regulation for all stages. And first it is done by also following rules and regulation. Of course, the most important thing is association with the pure devotees, as we just read. Yeah? And then one becomes attached, as we just read, to that always remember Krishna, never forget him. It's already it's not rule and regulation, it's just like briefing. And like we just read in the Miracle on Second Avenue, like Srila Prabhupada said to the woman, it's just natural, like to dress.
You wouldn't forget to dress.
Anymore. Yeah, you don't forget if you become. So this is what I wanted to say about following the rules and regulations. And thus, purely conscious and engaged with great eagerness in hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we can understand also from this intent that rules and regulations, they help us. They help us. That's why they're here in the path of bhakti. I'm saying that because especially in India, because I lived 7 years in India, we know that almost all people, they know who is Krishna, who are all the demigods, and they know. They read Bhagavad Gita, they read Ramayana, Mahabharata. They know it from their childhood. Yet many of them, even those who come to ISKCON temples and become devotees at the beginning, many of them, they still have that conception that I can talk to Krishna directly. We can, when we become pure devotees. And there is no need of living guru. I can just, Krishna is guiding me. That's why I'm saying, probably here it takes different forms, I guess, but still, it can take different forms. And thus purely conscious and engaged with great eagerness in hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So eagerness also comes also from following rules and regulations. I just mentioned that part, we are not saying about association with the devotees, just the importance of following rules and regulations. And so what I wanted to say about that, because when, especially I think that I just can't talk to Krishna directly and go back to Krishna in this way, so I neglect following rules and regulations, because this is one of the rules and regulations also. If Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita and in other books that one should, you come to me through my representative. This is also one of the rules and regulations. So rules and regulations, they are here, they are very much helpful. So in that place, if one gets a chance, it's also very interesting. In that place, if, yeah, there is word if, yeah, so if there is no chance, it won't act so fast. In that place, if one gets a chance to hear the constant flow of nectar, which is exactly like the waves of the river, and you know what are the waves of the river, yeah, they are limitless. You cannot count them, yeah, and they are not stopping. River water, it like. How you call them? If in the, in the in the river you put something to block
dam.
It. Dam. Yeah, yeah. So even if it's like normal dam, but if waves will flow constantly, after some time you have to fix it again and again. And so water is very powerful, especially waves of the river. So these are that flow of nectar, which is coming through their mouth. Yeah. So it's endless. And it's like wave after wave, wave after wave, and it's very powerful. There is no way to resist that. So this is how such pure Krishna conscious Mahatmas, when they're speaking, if you get chance to hear from them, it's like waves of a river. You just will be drawn. That's it. There is no chance to escape. So in that place, if one gets a chance to hear the constant flow of nectar, which is exactly like the waves of a river, one will forget the necessities of life, namely hunger and thirst, and become immune to all kinds of fear, lamentation, and illusion. So what happens to us, yeah, when we draw in that constant waves of nectar river? We will forget the necessities of life, namely hunger and thirst, yeah? So hunger and thirst, they can also be not just that I want to eat food, yeah, and drink water, yeah? It's thirst for something. It's hunger for something, yeah, for whatever, in the material world, yeah. We are not satisfied because we are always thirsty and always hungry for something. And that's why we lament, yeah, that's why we lament, because we always want something. We're never satisfied. In the material world, we're never satisfied. Like, when I say in the material world, it's also about that stage when we are not pure devotees yet, because to some degree we are never satisfied. We feel that I'm not satisfied, but why? Because hunger and thirst are here. Yeah, we feel that it can be better. It can be better, I deserve more, maybe. Usually we, at least I speak about myself, I always, feel better of myself than I am. Yeah, because as we know, like, there is one thing, not to criticize, not to blaspheme, not to find the faults, but to call the spade a spade. Yeah. Yeah? It's like just reality. Yeah, this is just reality. But we never think about that. That I am a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, what does it mean? He said, if I tell you that you are more insignificant than, what did he say?
I don't know exactly.
Something like, Krishna Lila Prabhupada, do you remember? Pierre Mahaprabhu, he gives this example like so many times. Didn't you remember that example? So he said basically to him that, so if I tell you that you are the most insignificant, yeah, that will be just calling spade a spade. Because jiva is, yeah, and usually like till the point we become really devotees, we still consider ourselves little Krishnas. So little Krishna cannot be little, yeah, but even Srila Prabhupada also once said to people who came, it's like my Vada vision, yeah, I'm Krishna, yeah, yes, you are small Krishna, big Krishna, just to explain, just the beginning, yeah, to explain that, okay, you're Krishna, you're part of Krishna, but you're tiny Krishna, yes, and this is the great, real big Krishna, the greatest Krishna. So to that point, we are, at least I myself always think that I'm better than I am. So, because it's very difficult when we, if just at the beginning to tell that when I'm not Krishna conscious, then somebody is not Krishna conscious and tell that you are so insignificant, I just will die out of disappointment. Because I was just thinking, I'm Krishna, you know, I can control, I can rule the world, I will never die. Of course we will never die, but if you are not Krishna conscious to hear this, it's just like momentary death. Yeah. So when we hear that constant nectarian flow of the narrations about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we forget any aspects of life, namely hunger and thirst. So it means from material platform we step to transcendental platform where there is no material hunger and no material thirst. And I guess every one of us experienced that. Yeah, when we were really engaged in some service for Krishna, it could be book distribution, Harinama. Especially like chanting on Hare Krishna is so powerful. When you get absorbed in Kirtan or Harinama, I just gave that example. Like, of course, we want to eat and to drink. Sometimes, like, sorry, we want to go like to the restroom. Yeah, sometimes even we can forget about that if Kirtan is too good. You know, it never can be too good, but we forget such things which usually you cannot forget. Yeah, or like to sleep. We don't want to sleep. We don't want to eat. It's in material condition of life, it's unnatural. Yes, we never forget to eat, never forget to sleep. But when it's so exciting, you know, like something is so, we are so excited, like in spiritual sense, it can be like some festival or our guru comes or whatever it can be, like really. When we get so excited, we really can, we don't want to sleep. We have to sleep, body demands, but we don't want to sleep. And we probably don't want to eat even. Yeah, of course, we are eager to take prasad with the devotees, but if there is like time for kirtan and we read in books about Gauralila, like Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavata and other books, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, about how devotees in Lord Chaitanya times, they were dancing, and sometimes they would dance, they would give like how many hours? I think like 72 hours, so more than like 24 hours without interruption, they would just dance, no drinking, no eating, no sleeping, no resting. Just singing and dancing. Of course, we may say, oh, it was Lord Chaitanya who was personally present. Yes. And when pure devotee presence also, it can happen too. Just I'm saying that we all have at least some small experience of that. And we can get more. We have to just dive and don't block our ears and just hear the constant flow. We should be eager to go to such places. Like, if we're here in America, like somewhere in the West, we can always be eager to go to the festivals. Because usually for the festivals, devotees organize in such way that they invite many pure devotees to come, many advanced devotees to come. And also all other devotees, maybe not are very pure, like, but devotees, they're different levels of devotion, yeah. But those who are eager to become purified, yeah. So that eagerness, that enthusiasm, all comes together. And such places, it's like, wow, like holy down, yeah. And especially, of course, temples, yeah. So when, if you don't live in Vrindavan or Mayapur, we live in some places, like I'm from Moscow, yes. Moscow is a huge city, like New York. And we all, like, I would come every day to the temple, it would take over 1 hour, like, every day to get there and then to come home. But, you know, you just want to get that nectar, so you will do that. As Bhima Prabhu, yesterday he was giving class, now he said, yeah, it takes for him also more than 1 hour to get here. He said, I forget about that, I'm excited the whole day that I come here. And many other devotees, they share the same experience, like Gagan, she's sharing the same experience, like, they forget even during like their working hours, like devotees they work to maintain themselves here, but they forget because usually we like some people they like really they love their job, but some people they just work to get money and they get a little bit annoyed or not a little bit, they don't like their job so much. So this just makes us forgetful of any material miseries, yeah. Even that anticipation that I will come at night to the temple and I will see the deities, I will participate in Gaurarati, I will hear Bhagavad Gita class. And we are so fortunate, like all four of us here, we live at the temple. We are so fortunate, we can't forget about how fortunate we are. But we have to just look how devotees, they're so eager. Some of them can come only once a week or even once a month, maybe they live far away. So they're anticipating so much, they're near, like, they want so much to come to the temple. They're so happy to do even smaller service for the deities and for the devotees here. And we are here, like, we're in the ocean. Service, we can do so much. So when one comes in such place and gets a chance to hear the constant flow of nectar, which is exactly like the waves of the river, one will forget the necessities of life, namely hunger and thirst, and become immune to all kinds of fear, lamentation, and illusion. Yeah, that's very nice. Becomes immune, yeah? Becomes immune, sometimes we have to get shots, yeah? We go, like, to become immune to cold, to hepatitis, to this, to that, to whatever, yeah. And here, that's no need to make a shot, just make a shot of here, pure Krishna Katha from pure devotees. And we are immune to all kinds of fear, lamentation, and illusion. And this is true, this is Srimad Bhagavatam. So if we are fearful of something, if we lament, if we lament, if we are in illusion, just that's it. We reach Srimad Bhagavatam. We maybe sometimes like to recharge our batteries, we need, yes. If you have money like and time, we can go to India like for the festival, Guru Purnima festival or Kartika festival or some other festival in such holy places as Vrindavan, Mayapur, Sri Jagannathapuri. If we don't have much time, we don't have much money, we can go to the local festival. If we have no time at all and have no money at all, we can go to local temple or just even at our home, everyone has internet access. Like, see, watch live broadcasting from the festivals, from some of the temples, hear the recordings of Srila Prabhupada, of other advanced devotees, great devotees, read the books. Yeah, so there's always a way to get and pray to Krishna for the association of the pure devotees, because actually, of course, it's very nice to watch it online. Yeah, yet it's much better to have personal association, because it's about personal association which can give all perfection. Why it's like this, yeah? Because in this way we can get also glance of that saintly person, and that glance can save us from it works like this, yeah. I just know personally also, just give you one example. Like some disciples of Niranjan Swami, they were asking him, is he going to do some, you know, webinars like on, I don't know, maybe in English you call it a different way. So like when all devotees like on Skype conference. Yeah. So then like say he is here and they are say in Moscow, yeah, and they are like talking together. And he said that he personally prefers personal association, and till the moment he will be able to travel, he wants it to be like this. He will come to the place and there's person, because it's like reciprocation. You can see the person, you can relate, you can feel more there. So such personal association is very important. So we should be eager to go to such places. If we have no chance, we should pray to Krishna, he will arrange it. He immediately arranges it. It's nothing bad. He will arrange, because sometimes we think, how can I go? I have my service. I cannot go even for 3 days, but to speak of 1 or 2 weeks. And it can be so, and also it can be that we are a little bit too attached to being a controller. Yes, this is my service. I'm the controller, Haribol. No one can do it better than me. So if I go for 1 week, you know, just everything will just be ruined. If I just go. It could be like this. I'm not saying it's like that, but it could be like this. So we should analyze. And we should just pray to Krishna and talk to senior devotees. Yeah, if Krishna say yes, it will be arranged. Yeah, so then we can go for the festival, then we can go and get association of the devotees. So if we feel our battery should be recharged, we have to do something about that. Talk to senior devotees, explain our situation, and maybe definitely we will have. Okay, let's read the purport. We have maybe 9 minutes. The cultivation of Krishna consciousness is possible where great devotees live together and constantly engage in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. So we can see what are the engagement of pure devotees. Yeah, we know that there are 9 methods of devotional service. I mean, like, main, yeah, and all other like devotional service, they can be included either in one or in many of them. And they are Shravanam, Kirtanam.
Krishna Smaran. Who's coming Sunday? We have a guest that's coming Sunday.
Yes. Bhakti Vasudeva. Yeah. Disciple of Bhakti Tiswan Maharaj.
Yeah.
I don't know his surname.
Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu
Smaran. Padasevan.
Kachanam, Pandanam, Dasyam, Vakyam.
Atmanivedana. So these are 9 methods of devotional service. And here especially emphasized are 2/3 of them. Yeah. Chanting and hearing. Shravanam Kirtan. Shravanam Kirtan. Because we know that just by following even one of these 9 methods of devotional service, one can get perfection. You have these examples from Srimad Bhagavatam. Yet we know that Kirtanam and Shravanam are especially powerful, especially in this age. Especially in this age, and we know also very famous quotation from one of the Puranas that there is no way Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Eva Kevala, Kalama Nastiva, 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 Gatir, Anyata. Yeah. So in Kali Yuga, there is no other way than chanting the holy names of the Lord, chanting the holy names of the Lord, chanting the holy names of the Lord. And we know that something is repeated 3 times. It shows that it's very important. It's extremely important. Yeah. So here it's extremely important that it's in Kali Yuga, that in Kali Yuga, yeah, Kalama Nastiva, there is no other way, it's not about Kali Yuga, but there is no other way than chanting. So it's extremely important method of devotional service. hearing and chanting. And so, if we also want one day to become pure devotees, we can just try to follow in the footsteps of such pure devotees. Yeah? It is said that eagerness to hear comes. Yeah? First, it starts with our desire to get that eagerness. Yeah? So if you are not desiring yet, I remember at the first when I liked Niranjan Swami, I decided, okay, I will hear his lecture because I liked his kirtans. I would really, like, literally fall asleep when I would do his class. Philosophy, that's too much for me. I loved his kirtans very much, but that philosophy is too much. But I was eager because I liked his kirtans, yeah? And because of association of the devotees, we cannot do it alone. Yeah, we cannot do it alone. But we should be eager. So we should see how other devotees, they are not falling asleep. They really love, they enjoy Srimad Bhagavatam. And we should get association of such words. And association, it's not only that I talk to somebody, yes? If I cannot talk, like, I have nothing to talk, like, I'm not interested in that. I can do something for these devotees. Service is also association. And hearing, the most important service, like, it starts from hearing, shravana, starts from hearing, yeah? I can give my ears. I can come for the class, make that, I will come on Sunday. Because that Maharaj is coming, and I will give him my ears. Means not only my body, okay, I'm here. And I'm not here, yes, I'm somewhere else. No, I give my ears. Because ears are the most important. This is the most important service. So when we give, we get back. It looks like business deal, yeah, but we know also, like, Lord Nityananda, he opened the marketplace on the holy name, yeah? So it's like a little bit, but of course it's completely transcendental, yeah? So here we get back. And we get back a lot, much, like, much more than we give. We give just our ears, and we were not eager to hear, yeah? After a few times, even after one time, we are so eager to hear. We should not lose it. We should just go on and hear and hear and hear and chant and chant and chant. So here, all the instructions are done. If you are not pure devotees yet, yeah, which are, could be, yeah. So we can just follow the rules and regulations, which are followed by pure devotees. We are not imitating their behavior, yeah? But we try to get that eagerness. Yeah? So it starts with a desire to become eager. If you are not eager, it starts with a desire, I want to become eager. Because I really, they are so nice, I also want to become pure devotee. In a holy place like Vrindavana, there are many devotees constantly engaged in chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. It's also very interesting, yeah? Because we also know that temple is as good as the holy place, yeah? Yet there is some special significance. So Prabhupada is always mentioning such holy places as Vrindavana, Mayapura, Sri Jagannathapura. So we should be eager to go to this place. We should be eager. We should get that eagerness. We can see that our spiritual master and masters and even advanced and devotees who are managers, like who are in GBC, yeah, many times they have meetings in the holy places, like Mayapur, they have GBC meetings there, like so many times. So it's just because these places, they have some special power. The special power because many pure devotees reside there. And of course, because Krishna and Lord Gaurachandra, they are performing their pastimes there, but we don't have eyes to see them yet. Yet these places, they have special significance to purify the soul and to get a taste. We are getting the taste. It's not just purification. Yeah, we know that some devotees, some people can be completely pure, but not devoted to the Lord. Transcendentalists, like they can be like dhyana yogis. They can become completely pure, yes, but not eager for devotional service. So we can get that eagerness for devotional service in such places. And Srila Prabhupada is saying because there are many devotees constantly engaged in chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. Because who usually go to such places? They may be from different, like in Vrindavan, there are so many different people from all around the India. Some of them, you can say like Sahaja, like take things cheaply. Yes, Srila Prabhupada says Sahajas are also devotees, but not of high degree. Yeah, and we should not, because sometimes devotees, they don't know about the rules and regulations. Some think I can just go and become pure devotee like me and Krishna. Yeah, so there are many types of devotees. So we can stick to like our ISKCON temples or whatever. Yeah, but we should understand that usually to such holy places are going devotees. They are on different levels of devotional service, but they are devotees because they are eager to come to such holy places. So these places are specifically, especially powerful because devotees, they practice devotional service there. If they are not devotees, they will not go there. Like sometimes, of course, now tourists are coming, but mostly devotees, different devotees are coming there. Okay, I just finished the paragraph and that's it. If one gets the chance to hear from pure devotees in such a place, allowing the constant flow of the river of nectar to come from the mouth of pure devotees, then the cultivation of Krishna consciousness becomes very easy. So it's also important that Srila Prabhupada is saying, allowing the constant flow of the river of nectar to come from the mouth of pure devotees. It's also up to us. We should be eager to hear. Yeah? So we should decide, I will give my ears, I will not think about anything else. I just go and I hear from that person. And I pray to Krishna, to Srila Prabhupada, I will get it. When one is engaged in constantly hearing the glories of the Lord, he certainly rises above the bodily conception. And we will get that experience immediately. We get that experience immediately. When we hear that like, Maharaj comes, just give him ears and you will get it. We will get it. When one is in the bodily conception, he feels the pangs of hunger and thirst, fear, lamentation, and illusion. Yeah, usually, always feeling it. But when one is engaged in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, he transcends the bodily conception. Somebody wants to add some questions, comments? Yes.
You lived in Vrindavan for a long time, and you're familiar with. I mean, I've heard that the residents of Vrindavan, they don't need a spiritual master because Krishna is their spiritual master.
Srila Prabhupada, I read, because we have calendar, you know, like everyday calendar, and one of the quotes from Srila Prabhupada, he's saying about those who were born in Vrindavan, Prajabasis, I guess, no? I don't want to speculate.
Yeah.
And Srila Prabhupada is saying, don't mix with them.
Oh.
Respect from the distance. Some of them are on such elevated level, and now I'm not speculating, just what I remember I'm saying from Srila Prabhupada's word, but the rest, misfind it yourself, yeah? So I remember that about don't mix. Because if we are not on that platform, we can commit offenses,
right.
Or we can, like, as we know, I think it was with Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, that story, who was chanting at the latrine?
Who was Gaur Kishore?
Yeah. And so, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he knew about his exalted nature. But even, he wouldn't send his, he would send only very few disciples to see him. Because if somebody who doesn't know, because that devotee, he didn't externally follow that rule of pure, he was chanting. Yeah. So one can commit offenses by seeing very exalted devotees. Yeah. So I don't remember exactly, but that I remember just don't mix. And some of them can be so, as you said.
Okay. I just want to ask for a couple of one or two comments. One was, Prabhupada always talked about the temples as being like a marketplace. Like here, if you want to do business, if you want to sell something or buy something, you go to where everybody's doing it, in the marketplace. You don't just look around anywhere on the side of the road. You go where everybody's doing it. So he said the temples are like that. This is a place where you come when you want to hear and exchange and about Krishna. That's what's happening here. And one other comment was speaking of the rules and regulations, Prabhupada called the four regulative principles the regulative principles of freedom. So to the materialist, it's like freedom. I got to follow all these rules, you call that freedom? But that's the example is of a person who's sick and the doctor gives them restrictions and rules to follow in order that he can become free. The restrictions are meant for freedom. So, yeah. It sounds like a contradiction in terms of regulative principles of freedom, but it's for that purpose.
That's amazing, thank you. Maybe some corrections. I would always love to hear the correction. If I said something wrong, I don't want to say again something wrong.
No, it was good.
Okay, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.